Luke, third book of the New Testament, chapter 18. And we're going to read the first eight verses for our scripture reading tonight. A parable that Jesus told about prayer. And although I know we're studying prayer on Wednesday night, this is not a part of that. Even though this is about prayer, and I'm going to talk about prayer tonight, it's just a part of my message, not the whole message. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with thee? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I believe we're here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for each one of us. And even though many are a little bit tired tonight because of all the activities of the day, I pray, Father, that we would count this time as precious, that we'd listen with our hearts and with our minds, and we would get tonight what you have for each one of us. I pray if there's somebody here tonight doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, tonight would be the night they decide to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless the remainder of the service. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. God's given us a wonderful book in the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that with all my heart, that he wrote it and that he dictated it to men. And it's written just like he wants it written. And I believe in the King James Bible that we have the preserved Word of God. I don't think God would have things in the Bible like man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, unless we did have every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so the Bible is a wonderful book, and it's a book of many different facets. It has many different faces. It's a love story. It's history. It's science, and you could just keep going down the list. But that's the main purpose of the book is to tell us about God, and to tell us how God wants us to live. You could really look at the Bible in one way as an instruction book. It's a book of instructions that God has given to his children. Now, some people look at the Bible like teenagers look at their parents' rules. They look at them and they say, well, you, Mom, Dad, you give me all these rules because you don't want me to have any fun at all. You want to stifle me. You want me to be a weirdo compared to all my friends. And you've given me all these rules just to spoil my life. And a lot of people look at the Bible that same way, where they say to God, you have all these thou shalts and thou shalt nots in the Bible because you just don't want us to enjoy life. I mean, you just want us to have a hard time and not have any fun at all in life. You want us to be weird. You want us to be peculiar. Now, I will tell you, God wants us to be peculiar. He wants us to be different. But you won't find a page in this book where God doesn't want his children to enjoy life. I mean, I can't help as I read the Bible, and I was reading it several books last night on the way home from Tennessee. I was just thinking, what a wonderful God that we have that has given this book. A book of instructions, again, not to stifle our fun, but just like a parent gives a child any set of rules, it's for their protection, it's for their good. And I found with my relationship with my parents and my relationship with my God, that you can have a lot more fun inside the boundaries than you can on the other side. Now the other side may look desirous every now and then. The other side of the line may look attractive, but it's a whole lot more fun and it's a whole lot more lasting fun and enjoyment and joy and happiness, however you want to say it, to stay inside the lines that God has drawn around our life in this book, and to just stay in there. Reg and I were talking a little bit at lunchtime. And every time that we think that we know better than God and we step outside of the box that He's drawn around our life in this book, we get in trouble. And there's consequences. Maybe pleasurable, but it's only pleasurable for a season. Doesn't last very long. And inside the box, inside the rules, inside the instructions is where we find happiness. Now, say all that by way of introduction. Every instruction in this book is important, every single one of them. But the instructions that God says, hey, when you do this particular thing, I want you to do it always. Always. Those are particularly important instructions. There are some things that He told His people to do once a year. They had the Day of Atonement, where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies just once a year with the blood of the Lamb and made atonement for all the sins for the past year. They had the Passover feast, where they remembered what God did for them in Egypt, where they put blood on the door and the death angel passed over and didn't kill the firstborn in that house. And they commemorated that and remembered that as a holiday and as a celebration once a year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they remembered the time that they went out of Egypt and didn't have time for the bread to rise, and they ate it unleavened. And once a year, they remembered that and celebrated that. And so there were things that God told His people to do one time a year. There were things that God told His people to do once a day. They were to have a morning and evening sacrifice. They were to have the showbread that they put on the table once a day. But there are things, and there's four of them in the Bible that I've found, and maybe after I get done tonight, some of you that study and read might come up to me and say, hey, Brother Darrell, you forgot one. I want you to do that. If there's something that something else in the Bible where God says, hey, when you do this, I want you to do it always. Not once a year, not once a month, not once a day. I want you to do it always. I want you to tell me. Because I think it's important when God says, hey, here's something I want you to do. And these things are not deep theological things that you have to dig out of the Word of God. They're not hard things to do. They're simple things to do that every child of God can do, every child of God ought to do, and if we do them always, like God tells us to do, we'd be a whole lot happier. We'd have a lot more joy in our life. We grow as a Christian. And so tonight, as I mentioned this morning, I want to speak on the subject, always do the always things. Always do the always things. There are four things that God says, when you do them always. We ran across the first one in our scripture reading tonight. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. It's repeated in the Bible. Later on, a couple chapters in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, the Bible says, watch ye therefore and pray always. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, let me remind you tonight, we've been talking about prayer. And we talked about the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer on Wednesday night. Prayer is petitioning God. Prayer is asking God. Prayer is going to God and saying to God, Lord, I need this. And as we pray, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this before, but I want you to think about it with me tonight. As we pray, we let God be God. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me explain it to you. You see, when we pray, we give God an opportunity to give us an answer. We give God an opportunity to keep a promise. We give God an opportunity to do things that nobody else can do, that only He can do, to show that He's God. God's made a lot of promises in the Bible. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. He promised us, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And as we pray, as we ask God for things, what we're doing is we're given an opportunity for God to keep those promises. You say, well, can he keep those promises if we don't ask? Yes, sometimes he can. But most of the time, he's waiting for us to ask for something, to claim the promise before he gives it. In the book of Exodus, he's rebuking his children. And he said, you limited me. Talking to the Israelites. You limited me. You put me in a box and you tied me up in a box. And I could not do for you what I wanted to do. Why? Because you didn't ask. What does it say in the book of James? Ye have not because ye ask not. And when we pray, what we're doing is we're putting up a roadblock in the things that God wants to give us. We're saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, we don't say whoa, 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 but we say, don't do it because we don't ask. And so when we pray, when we go to God, when we petition him, and by the way, I think it's good and I think it pleases God to remind him of the promises that he made. We talked about this, and I can't remember what we were studying when we talked about it. But it's okay, and I think it pleases God. I think it causes a smile to come across his face when one of his children takes the Bible and turns to a particular passage of Scripture and say, God, I found this in your book. It's a promise. It's a conditional promise. It says, if I do this, then you'll do this. Hey, I want to take you up on that promise. I'm going to do it. And when we do that, when we go to God and ask him and remind him of the promise and ask him to keep the promise as we meet our part of it, God says, I like that. I like for my children to learn my promises. I love for my children to come and remind me of my promises. And boy, I can't wait for you to do it. And in answer to our prayer, God is given the opportunity to be God. To be God. To be God. And so we ought always to pray. Now, in this passage of Scripture, God says, you need to keep praying. And keep praying. And keep praying. I mean, tell us a story. Here's an unjust judge. He didn't have any regard for God. He didn't care what God thought about him. He didn't have any regard for man. He didn't care what people thought about him. And here was a widow lady. She came to him and said, hey, I've got a problem. There's a person that's doing me wrong, an adversary, as she called him. I want you to take care of it. You're the judge. You have the power to do it, and it's right, and you ought to do it. And he ignored her. And she kept coming back to him and said, hey, this guy is bothering me. You're the judge. You've got to take care of it. And he ignored her and ignored her and ignored her and ignored her. And finally, one day he said, I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what man thinks, but just because I don't want this woman bothering me anymore, I'm going to take care of it. Now, and Jesus says, did you hear what the unjust said? Now, won't God do the same thing? That's what he was saying. Won't God do the same thing? If you keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, he'll answer you. I couldn't help but smile a little while ago when we were in the choir. I'd see all these young'uns. And Brian, the reason I asked you if you wanted to be in the choir is that way you can get up here and you won't have to be back there. but they're two boys just running around back there. And I remembered, and I don't know if you two have started it yet, I remember when Adam was about that age, he asked the question, why? 18,000 times a day. Why? And now you that have had kids, when they get 2, 3, and they start talking, they start understanding. Has Evan started doing that yet? Well, okay, you, it's coming. Why? 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 And, you know, I said, oh, and you try to answer them. You start out trying to answer them. And they just keep coming back and coming back. And it's just like this late. They are not going away. I mean, they don't go away. They just keep coming and asking, why, why, why? You know, we try to use, well, go ask your mother. And I'm sure mothers say, go ask your dad after they've answered 1,000 questions. But it's the same sort of principle. I mean, if your child or your grandchild came to you and asked you and asked you and asked you and asked you sooner or later, that's what Helen was doing at the auction today. She was buying all her grandkids and kids Christmas presents. So was I. Some of you are going to get them, but anyhow. That's the way it works. I mean, if we will give our children and our grandchildren things because they keep asking, don't you think God will? And like we talked about, I think, on Wednesday night, if we know how to give good things to our children when they ask, and we are evil, don't you think a God that's perfect and good will give so much more greater gifts to His children when they ask? So we need to pray, and we need to pray always. Prayer is a powerful thing. It opened the Red Sea for Moses. It made the sun stand still for Joshua. It called fire from heaven for Elijah. It made the axe head float for Elisha. It made the stone fly straight for the little shepherd boy David. It locked the jaws of the lions for Daniel. It cooled the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you can go through this book, and in answer to prayer, you can see God doing great and mighty things that we don't even know that He can do until we ask Him. And then He shows us. Everything that Jesus did when He was on earth, most of it was done through prayer. He was the Son of God, but when He was on earth, He operated the same way to show us as an example how we should operate on this earth. By prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, which all of us had, He opened blind eyes. God opened blind eyes in answer to His prayer. He loosed tongues that were of the dumb. He strengthened people. He made people come back to life through prayer. It's a powerful, powerful thing that God's given us. And we ought always to pray. Always. Always, always. So, that's one. Second one, I find, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now what that verse says to me, it's, first of all, as we read in Luke, we ought always to pray. Number two, we ought always to be busy in God's work. We ought always to find a place that we can serve. You see, when you serve God, you let what's on the inside come out. You let the things that God gives you, the knowledge that God gives you, the feelings that God gives you, the charity that God gives you, however you want to say it, whatever God gives you, you when you serve Him, you give that an outlet, you give that a way to come out and be seen on the outside. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians is saying, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What he says is, every Christian, every person that knows Christ, everybody that's on their way to heaven, ought always to pray and ought always find a way to serve God. You see, that stuff that he puts on the inside, we need to let get out. If you don't let it out, what happens? I mean, if you fill up a glass of water and you don't empty it out, what happens to that water sooner or later? Yeah, it gets stagnant, gets stale, gets old. That's the same thing that happens with the blessings of God that we get from Him. If we don't find an outlet, if we don't let them out, if we don't share them with other people, pretty soon they're going to get stale. He won't fill us up with anything that we don't share with others. We sing the song sometimes. I haven't sung it for a while, but make me a channel. A blessing. And so as God blesses us, it needs to flow through us to somebody else. Because if I put the stopper on it and I won't let any out and I just take and take and take and take and take and say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, pretty soon I'm going to get full and I won't get any more. I won't get any more. Until I let it out. God, until I find an outlet. Until I find a way to share with others what God has given me. It's just like that story of the widow that borrowed all those containers and those jugs in 2 Kings. When she filled them all up, the oil stopped flowing. And when God fills us up, but if we don't share it with other people, He's not going to give us any more. So always abounding in the work of the Lord. Find a place to serve. Become a channel, become a pipe, however you want to say it. Find something that you can do in the work of God and get busy at it. Get busy at it. You say, well, Brother Darrell, you're the preacher, give me a job. Hey, You come to me and tell me to say that to me, I will give you a job. I will. I'll find some. We'll start a new Sunday school class. I know we need some more help in the nursery. There's a whole lot of things that we can do if Christians, all of us, you and I together, will say, I'm going to serve God. Don't just come and sit in the pews. I mean, if that's all you're going to do, you keep coming. But don't just come and sit in the pews, because pretty soon you're going to get stagnant. Find a way to let it out. Find a way to let it flow. Find a way to get it to other people. And God will keep blessing. So, we ought always to pray. We ought always to abound in the work of the Lord. Number 3, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks. Always. In all things. The bad things, the good things. The happy things and the sad things. I've told you a story before. When we lived in Indiana, we'd go over to the pastor's house often to share lunch with him and dinner. And they had twin boys. And when we were there, they were about 2, 2.5, 3 years old. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Every meal that we got done with, lunch, dinner, even just snacks. Sometimes late at night, we'd have snacks. And one of their little boys, his name was Mark, would say, Mommy, that was the best lunch I've ever had. Thank you so much. I mean, they could have been just eating tomato soup and crackers. Or it could have been fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and the whole ball of wax, so to speak. But every single time, Mommy, that was the best meal you ever cooked. Thank you so much. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. And, you know, and I was thinking about this, David, when you were sharing your testimony, as I thought about it, and I thought about it at the hospital this afternoon. When things happen, when things out of the ordinary happen, when things like happen in your life where the boys rolled the truck and they made it out okay, we thank God, and we should. The hospital today, we thank God in our prayers that we live in a time where doctors know how to unclog arteries and fix valves and different things like that, that we live in a day and we're thankful for that. But in all honesty, we ought to be thankful every single day. We ought to be thankful always. Always. And I don't know if, you know, when I prepared my message this morning and I told you, you know, I mentioned that song, We'll Understand It Better By and By, and I said, maybe we will and maybe we won't. I think maybe when we get to heaven, God will say, you don't need to understand it. And we'll be in our glorified bodies and we'll say, it's okay, we don't need to understand it. I think there are things that happen every day of our life. Sam and I and Dick and were talking as we were driving to the hospital about close encounters on the highways where people almost run into us or we almost run into them. I think every day God works in our life and we don't see it. We just don't see it. We don't recognize it. Maybe we see it, but we don't recognize it, that it's a gift from Him. I was sharing with these guys. I was in Tennessee and just about to turn my rental car in. And this lady pulled right out in front of me. In fact, I thought she was going to hit me. And I, you know, what flashes through your mind? Here you are, you have an accident in a rental car. You're going to have to, you know, file a police report, miss my airplane, don't get home in time, have to call Brother Clint or Brother Leonard and say, hey, you guys, get a sermon together because you got to preach for me. I mean, that all flashes through my mind as, you know, I put my foot on the brake and steer to avoid that. And I said, thank you, Lord, for, you know, not letting that happen. Every day, we ought to just, at the end of the day, we ought to say, Lord, I know there's some things, some trouble you kept me out of today. I don't know what it is, but thank you. Thank you. And we ought to be grateful. Always, always give thanks. And then number 4, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give an answer. When somebody comes up to you and say, why do you have a hope for heaven? Be ready always to give an answer. How can you be so upbeat as you face surgery and face cancer and face other trials that come into your life? Always be ready to give an answer. How can you take? I was talking to somebody earlier this week about a family in our church and about all the things that they've gone through, and they asked questions. I just don't know how they can take it. I don't know that I could take it. How can you take all the stuff that God lets come into our life? How can you take it? Be ready to give an answer. Now, the only way you can do that is stay in this book. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Word of God. Because that's where the answers come from. Always be ready and that's why it's so important to read this book, to study this book, to memorize this book, to meditate on this book. You just need to stay in the book. This is where the answers come from. This is the answer book. This is the reason for our hope. This is the reason we can take what God dishes out, what's come into our life. This is the reason that we can be cheerful in spite of circumstances. This is the reason. The answers are in this book. And we ought to know the answers. The only way you know them is to study. The only way you know them is to read them. So dig into your Bible. Dig into it. Always. So, always pray. Always pray. Always serve. Always serve. Always be ready to give an answer. And always be grateful. Now, are any of those deep theological theses that are hard to understand? No. They're simple. They're simple things that every child of God ought to do every single, always. I'm going to say every single day, but that's not often enough. Always. So let's always do the always things. Help you grow. Help your faith to grow. Keep you out of trouble. Keep you happy. Keep that joy unspeakable and full of glory that's talked about in the Bible in your heart, on your face. And it'll cause other people to say, why are you smiling? Why are you smiling? Why are you so happy? Because I always do the always things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. For each one that's here, I pray, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that in the quietness of the next few moments, they'll understand that they're a sinner. They'll understand that Jesus paid the price for their sin. And they'll understand the wonderful invitation that He gives to each single one of us when He says, all you got to do is come. Just come. Whosoever will may come. And the Bible promises us that He'll turn nobody away. And so I pray, Father, if there's one here tonight or more than one that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, doesn't know for sure that Jesus is their Savior, that tonight they'd make that decision. And then, Father, I pray for Christians. I pray that you'd help us do the things that you tell us to do always. We'd be faithful, unshakable, unmovable. Always pray, always serve, always give thanks. Always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in us. Bless the invitation now. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.